This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at Geico.com.
The podcast no one asked for, but you want it anyway. It's the Bits and Pieces Podcast.
Hey, welcome to Bits and Pieces. I'm Willie Griswold, and this is the podcast that revisits our favorite Bob and Tom Show comedy bits. Today, I'm joined by Jason, Jess, and our super secret special guest is Josh Arnold!
What? No.
Is he on the phone or something? What's going on, Jason?
I don't think you're supposed to say it until he came in, Willie.
I didn't know what was happening. How was I supposed to know the rules? You didn't tell me anything. There he is. I can see him walking in the hallways. I thought it was an audio echo.
No. You stay there. He's a guest. He's a guest.
Our guest is Josh Arnold.
I had no idea.
Oh, boy.
Look at him.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Oh. You can't sit in your desk, otherwise it would seem like you're just working.
Yeah. But no. No, I'm in Chick's desk.
Yeah.
He sits very low.
he sits very low, and his sound is very specific to him.
Yeah. He's a weirdo.
So don't touch anything.
100% a weirdo. No, touch all of it. Drop your balls on that bell.
Oh, man. He's got some money over here. Mm-hmm. What does he have? Coins.
Okay.
So what am I doing here?
I asked the same thing.
Thanks for joining us, Josh. Sorry the intro was awkward. I thought it was an audio hookup and I yelled your name. I didn't know you were actually coming in.
Oh, my gosh.
I had your name taped over just so he wouldn't see it. And then when you came in, I thought he'd rip it off.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't meant to be revealed. But here's the problem. I didn't tell him any of that.
You didn't tell me any of that.
That's on me.
I thought it was an audio hookup. I had no idea what was happening.
Well, I was surprised.
Well, thanks for doing this, man. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you.
You know the meat and potatoes is listening to the bits. Usually we kind of just goof for a little bit. Do you want to goof with us?
I have a question for Alsman.
What?
Did you see me throw a pork chop into my backyard yesterday?
No, and if I did, I would have been like, all right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Feed the critters.
Yeah.
Because I'm all for that.
I made some pork chops, and I had one that was like a little too old, leftover or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to just throw it in my trash. I thought I would throw it out to the animals.
Oh, yeah. That raccoon will get it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I opened my back door and I was in like my underwear.
Hilarious.
And I just whipped this thing out there. And then I saw that you and Donnie were sitting on your deck. Because your backyard butts up against my backyard. So I didn't know if you could see me through the trees.
Oh, I didn't see you. We were watching the birds, Mr. and Mrs. Cardinal and the squirrels. There's a little Schmeagle squirrel right now that has no hair if you haven't seen it.
I haven't.
We're trying to take care of it.
Okay, so yeah.
I look out for him. But yeah, stop throwing pork chops at me, I guess.
Okay, so you didn't see me in my boxers throwing a pork chop into the
backyard. Were you shirtless?
No. I had a t-shirt on.
Well, next time, take your shirt off.
It almost feels like you wanted someone to see you.
No.
Okay.
No, I was glad that they didn't see me.
If you're right there, it's so easy, though. I'll go out there in my robe sometimes, and I look like a crazy old lady. It's a purple robe. It's obnoxious. But I'm like, come on, birds, squirrels, and throwing out some nuts.
Yeah.
That is the behavior of a crazy old lady.
It is. It's sad.
She hangs out with all the animals around their house like a crazy old lady. Did you make a table for the squirrels, or did I see that on the internet and I thought it was
there
you?
Is a picnic table we have. Someone gifted it to us. It's amazing. It has a little umbrella that pops up.
What?
Wow. To give him shade.
And it's all squirrel-sized?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's awesome. That is absolute crazy person behavior.
I'll post a video.
Around your house, you have to have a lot of squirrels. Do you go out and feed them? Or?
No, I don't feed the squirrels.
I don't.
Did I tell you guys about the cats? The other night, I was trying to go to bed, and then I just heard these like, wah!
cat fight.
Ooh. I thought it was a baby crying in my attic or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was probably stoned. That's why I thought it was in the attic. I got a baby get in the attic. And then I heard these cats, and then I didn't know it was cats. And then I kind of go, okay, I guess I have to explore. And so I have this like little kind of back area that's caged in, fenced in. There's a word I can't think of. You guys all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I go out there, and then I see these two little bastards just hanging out next to... Yeah.
They're fighting.
They cross paths.
They're yelling at each other. And then I got so scared. My brother's my neighbor, and he was out of town. I go, hey, do you know anything about these cats? And he goes, yeah, those are the cats that hang out on your like little back area. Awesome. I was like, well, what do I do? Can I get out? Can I get rid of them? And he's right. like, I think you just kind of like, you can yell if you want to, but I don't think you can go anywhere. He was on speakerphone. And then I heard Pauline start to laugh at me. Yeah. And I was like, I'm scared of these damn cats. I don't know what to do with these cats.
It's an eerie sound.
Cats
fighting and cats giving birth. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy sound.
Yeah, cats banging too.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have a cat, and he's an indoor-outdoor cat, and he's gotten in fights with possums, raccoons, everything. And he always escapes because he goes up the tree and he's okay. But you hear that in the middle of the night, or you hear the coyotes and you think that they got him. But luckily, he's escaped multiple times, so it's okay.
There's a neighbor cat that just shows up, and I feed him because he's super nice. He's the chillest cat.
I think he's
cat.
Your cat now.
Probably. He chases the birds, though, and that's a problem.
Are you buying food for these animals?
Yes.
Where?
Really?
Menards.
Like you have like cat
peanuts
food.
And nuts. Well, cat. We have a cat inside.
Oh,
it's
that makes sense. I heard it right away.
Riri does not like Lola, and it's Lola the boy cat.
Lola the boy cat.
Named like the song.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if you name him and you feed him, this is your cat then?
No, he has a name tag. It says Lola. And we've called the neighbors before and said, hey, your cat's down here. And they're like, yeah, he likes to be outside. He just does his own thing. Yeah. I'm like, that's cool. And I think he loves our deck because we supply entertainment with birds and squirrels and chipmunks. And there's a groundhog that has a limp leg. He can't use his back.
Aww. Yeah, no, the cat doesn't watch those as entertainment.
Are you sure?
He's watching those as potential meals.
Yeah. Oh. He's watching it for entertainment in the same way that I watch commercials for restaurants I want to go to.
Oh. Right.
Just getting ready to get a Whopper Jr. Well, I say we get into our first bit. This is our first bit with our super secret guest, Josh Arnold. And for this one, we can only play the jingle.
Head shampoo. Come on, give it a shot.
My hair looks great. Use a nap.
Why can't you play the whole thing?
There's one little... Well, for starters, to be honest, it's not in our system.
Oh, no kidding.
At all. Like, there's different levels of our system, and I had to dig into the deepest level, and it wasn't even there.
Oh.
And
did you have to pull it from an album?
I did pull a little piece of it from that.
Gotcha.
From an album.
Okay. Is there a voice on there that you can't play anymore?
Yeah, I prefer not to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Personal preference. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah, that's right. That is right, because I had requested this one day when I first started full time.
Oh.
And that came up. Okay. Yeah.
So, but big picture here, Josh is like all of us, we were fans first.
Yeah.
And so I asked Josh to come on and say, hey, what were some of the bits, you know, before you got here that you enjoyed and are kind of, you know, your quintessential Bob and Tom bits? And you gave that as well.
Yeah, that's definitely one of them, because it sort of showed me that it's like, for as silly a... and childish as a conceit it is, a shampoo called Head, and then of course it's all these puns about that sort of activity. It's actually really smart at the same time, because everything that's said about the shampoo could actually be said about shampoo.
It applies, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And it taught me, along with a couple other Bob and Tom bits, that, oh, okay, when you make these puns like this, if what you're saying about the pun can actually be attributed to the fake product as well,
yeah,
it just strengthens the joke that much more. Like it, you don't abandon the idea of the product for the joke.
Right.
You double down on it so that it just strengthens the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was like one of those sort of epiphanies where it's like, oh, all right. And then my writing, because I was still in school at the time, any comedic writing I did, I think, was strengthened for that realization.
I was curious what our like playlist was going to be today, like which bits we were going to be listening to. And I was like, are they bits featuring Josh? Are they bits that... And now I understand it's bits that Josh loves. But initially I was like, oh, we're just playing this bit because Josh loves fellatio.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I thought so, too. It's I thought the same thing.
Well, that certainly goes into it as well.
You said you heard this, you remember hearing this in school. What was your routine listening to the show when you were younger?
So the first time I ever heard the show was actually on a CD.
Mm-hmm.
One of my best friends that I worked with at movie theater, he goes, do you listen to Bob and Tom? And I was like, no, I'm aware of him, but I've never listened. And he goes, oh, tonight, because we were going over to his house for like a party or something. And he goes, I'll play some of their CD. And I was like, okay. And it was Factory Air.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. Loved it immediately. And then started listening regularly. So I would get up at, it varied, but either between like 5:30, because I had something called Zero Hour for a while, which was, you know, you had first through seventh period or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Zero Hour was an extra class you could take before school actually started.
Oh, wow.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
And the reason I did it was because I could get, it was a history class and I could get college credit and not have to take any history class in college.
Gotcha.
So it sucked. But it gave me, I was able to listen to, because in St. Louis, the show started at 5 a.m.
Yeah, it was still live.
It was still right.
Live, yes.
Right. But it went 5 to 9 as opposed to, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yes. And so I got to listen to some really good shows, because it was that second hour, maybe the end of the first hour, beginning of the second hour, when things were really heating up and stuff like that. It was like prime time drive for the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because I don't know if you guys have talked, but sometimes Tom will save a particular story or a bit or something for that 7 to 8 o'clock hour Eastern, because there are so many people in their cars. And so, yeah, I got to listen to a lot of it. And then I'd listen on the way to school. And while I was taking a shower before school and stuff like that. And then I just started ordering. Anytime a CD came out, I would call 1-800-BUY-THIS.
Yeah.
And I must have talked to you at some point.
Probably.
And given you my credit card information or
probably,
whatever.
Probably, yeah.
And then, so Factory Air. And then I think it was Head on It's a Wonderful Laugh or...
yes, it was.
Okay, because I think that was the second one. I think I got to order that one when it came out.
And it was a double. Oh,
yes,
my gosh.
It was. And one disc was all Christmas related.
Yep. Oh, okay. Yep.
And then the other disc was like the best of that year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you put that one together?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No, I did not. A few years later than that.
Yeah.
Because that was probably 97. Does that sound right?
If that a little earlier, because that
maybe,
came out before
96 then, okay.
Because it came out before Back in 96.
No, that was Back in 98.
Oh, well, then no wonder it came out before. yeah, you're right, yeah. Because that was the one with Monica on
Monica
the
was
cover
the 98.
And stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to say it was maybe 97, maybe 96.
Okay,
yeah.
Somewhere in there. Yeah.
I feel like I was still in high school, though, but I must have, maybe, there's a chance I was a freshman in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might have. Did you graduate in
96?
96.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Apparently, the internet says it came out in 96.
Okay.
It's
so
a wonderful.
So it was Christmas of 96.
Oh, okay. Aww.
Yeah. So I would have been a freshman
just
in college.
Barely in college.
Then.
So that probably makes most sense.
Yeah.
I love that you were getting up at 5:30, like getting up really early to listen to Bob and Tom, and you had to go in early anyway.
Right.
But it was prepping you for your future to get up early and be on the show.
Well, and at that time, I really wanted to be in radio. I was talking to like my counselor at high school, and she actually hooked me up with shadowing the local morning show in St. Louis. And so I would go in there and like sit in with them, but also just watch what they did.
Yeah.
It was Sarah and Mary. They were called Sarah and Mary Ellen, because those were their names, on The Point, which was an alternative station in St. Louis. And it was really interesting because it was just two women, and they were It sounds weird now to go, and they were really funny. Well, yeah, I mean, there are funny women.
But,
so,
but back then, 25 years ago, that was not happening.
Dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not happening now.
Right, mm-hmm. That's true.
And yeah, and it was a bummer when they, I don't know why they ended up leaving St. Louis, but they, I think they got a better offer somewhere. Wow. I don't know what they're doing now, but they were
curious.
Really funny and interesting. And yeah, so I shadowed that. And then I read this article from a DJ. And I don't know who it was, but he said, if you're going to get into radio, you have to live, you know, breathe, eat, sleep, music. And I went, I kind of live, eat, breathe, sleep, movies.
Right.
So I guess radio's not really my thing. And the guy was kind of right and kind of wrong at the same time.
Yeah. Traditional radio, like Chick always says, I got into radio because I wanted to sit in a room alone and listen to music.
Right, mm-hmm.
And
right.
Like he says, I effed up in reverse. and I think that at that time, it's very possible, but talk radio has blown up in the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Like it's way more than it ever was when we were growing up.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but so I guess music lovers, sure, but that makes, when you say like you were that way about movies, do you remember ever hearing Chick talk and being like, wow, we have a lot in common?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I pretty much everybody in the cast I would listen to and go, okay, I could sit down with any of these four and have a good conversation.
That's what I don't know if I've ever said this to you directly, but I have said that you are the combination of Bob, Tom, and Chick. Like, and yes, you relate to Christy a lot, but you can tell in your humor and your timing, you are all over the place in the most wonderful way with your humor. You never know what you're going to say. It's always funny. It's always timed well. And you can tell you grew up listening to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
It's like you're funny, like Chick is. You have that great laugh and the great control of the room like Bob does. Mm-hmm. And you're hard to be around like my dad is.
Yeah. I think that's well done, completely Tom. Fair.
Yeah.
Definitely got the undeserved sort of cockiness of Tom.
Right.
And the condescension and stuff like that.
Yes.
And the desire to, maybe not desire, but enjoyment of playing the villain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which Tom, it's one of the things I admire most about him is he doesn't care.
No. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he does not care.
He's happy to play the villain.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're great at it too. And sometimes I'll look at you during the big show and you'll say something and I like don't know if you actually mean it or not mean it. And then you'll just give me a little eyebrow raise to be like, I'm the devil. I love it when you do that because I'm like, all right, we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's just me. It's just being silly. And
no matter what he's going on about, I'm going to be the opposite way right now.
Right. But he's so good. Josh, you're so good at it that you're just like, oh, man, I thought we were friends.
Mm-hmm.
And well, you know what I mean?
And that happens to me in real life, too.
Yeah.
Where somebody's like, dude, why don't you relax? I'm like, no, this is all a joke.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes people don't believe me and it gets me in trouble.
With Chick especially. If we can, you know, go behind the curtain a little bit more. Chick will call me at a break and he'll be like, Josh did what he did where he says something and then we go to break and he goes, hey, it was just a joke. So I'm pissed off about that.
Yeah, he called me out on that a couple of weeks ago on the air.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I said something and he goes, all right, yeah, real funny. And then I know what's going to happen. We're going to go to commercial. You're going to go, I was just joking. But I am.
Yeah. You're like, did I cross the line of fun?
No.
Aww.
No, I think more often when it comes to Chick.
You have to make sure he's in the mood to receive the joke.
Yeah, and sometimes that mood changes, you know, in
break to like, break.
Right. Which is fine.
Hour to hour.
It's totally fine.
It's true.
And sometimes my mood changes break to break, and so.
Yeah.
But I've been accused of being really angry about something when I'm really not at all. Yeah. And I've also been, I don't know.
That's where that Chick comment comes in really helpful lately because Chick does it too. You don't know if he's really mad and he's like, oh, I'm so fake angry about this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
right.
There it is. We're all right.
He's started to let people peek behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still don't want to. I'm like Tom in that respect. I'm more of a... less behind the scenes, more just let the product speak for itself. And so Chick's actually being fairly generous by letting people in there.
Well, we have one more bit. It's not one more, we have plenty more. But here is a hopeful song from John Wing.
This is a little love song I wrote some years back. It's actually a sort of a breakup song. I'd always dedicate it to all the wonderful women who treated me like a load of crap over the years. And it's a little love song.
All right.
Woke up this morning and you were gone. Found a note, it said so long. You said this love would last our lives. I hope your face breaks out in hives. I hope you die a painful death. I hope you choke on your next breath. You screwed me up, you done me wrong. I hope you die before too long. Hope you have a heart attack. I hope your breasts get really slack. You were my girl, but now you're not. I hope you die, I hope you rot. 'Cause I don't wanna be your friend. I only want your life to end. You're back in town, someone else's gal. I hope you drown in the love canal. I hope you die a painful death. I hope you choke on your next breath. Screwed me up, you done me wrong. I hope you die before too long. I hope you die before I end this song. I hope you die. I really, really hope you die. Die, 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 die. And die.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's one of my all-time favorite. All-time favorite things played on Bob and Tom that's not Bob and Tom produced.
Yes, I agree. And that was on Factory Air, and one of the first things I'd ever heard from the show. And what I love about it is it's a dark, like the punchline's right there up front.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And I was of a certain age. What was I? Just under 20 or whatever, so 17 or 18 or something. So this really scratched me where I itched at the time.
Right.
You know, the era of Alanis Morissette and sort mm-hmm. of male teenage angst and why doesn't this girl like me? Like that. So this was sort of a fun, you know, exorcism. Like to listen to that was sort of a fun exorcism of those sort of thoughts. But what I loved about it is you get the joke right away. And the laughter from everybody increases as the song goes on, but you would think it would be the opposite. Mm-hmm. And it's such a testament to the writing of the song where it's like, okay, here's the joke. And they're kind of, you know, they're laughing and they get it. But the writing is so sharp that the laughing grows and grows and grows until John Wing decides to completely abandon good writing and just let the passion speak with the die, die, die. Like you just totally. It's like, and so it breaks those rules of music and you know, Bob and Tom particularly can't get over how funny that is.
Right.
Okay, now it's just, it's just one of the way that it grows and the way that those guys, that the whole room enjoys it more and more and more as it goes on, as opposed to what will happen a lot with comedy songs, which is, oh, we love it up front, and then it fades. This one goes in reverse.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I've always wondered, and I've asked Tom, and I don't really remember his answer. He kind of gave me one of those answers where, while he was answering, I went, oh, I don't know if he remembers exactly. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And so, how did they, Jason, maybe you know.
I have a guess. I know what you're going to
ask. There's clearly a he says the S word at the end, and they bleep it. And I remember asking Tom, did you guys let that happen and then just go on the delay live? Or did you end up doing that song off the air again or something or what? And I didn't really get, don't remember what he said.
I was thinking about this, and it gets a really big laugh when he does the effing. But it's not a laugh so big. Like when someone accidentally says an F, it's not one of those like, oh,
yeah.
Like people freaking out. You shouldn't have done that kind of thing. It sounds like everybody's on board with it.
Right. Yeah.
So I think they must have given him the thumbs up. Hey, we're going to bleep you live. We're going to do something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know if they bleeped him live or if they went ahead and let him do the song unbleeped off the air and then bleeped him.
Yeah, because I don't know if they would play around with it that much on the air back then.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was pre-crackdown.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It still wasn't.
Or did he censor himself and he didn't even say it? Like maybe he. I don't know.
I think from anything I do remember from Tom's responses, he does say it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's eat ass and die.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was die, F and die.
No, he goes, die, each and die.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because that's the saying.
There's so many scenarios. They could have played it a second time later, and he goes, you know, usually on stage,
right.
I say, he goes, and Tom's like, go ahead and do it. We'll hit the button maybe the second time, and then he just put it back. So you think the end laugh isn't completely genuine is what you're saying?
No, I think it's genuine, but I'm saying that I don't
think. They knew
think
it was coming.
They might have known it
flips
was coming.
Out. Nine, it right. was coming. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what it is.
When someone accidentally says an F or an F on here, everyone's face goes red.
It's
everyone screams laughing.
Yeah. It's not the Lehigh Bank.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's
right,
the,
right.
That's the mother of all of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huh.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, Drew Carey put together that probably back at that time. So he would probably have the answer.
Gotcha.
I'll have to ask him.
Yeah.
I'm so mad that it's not F and die. Because I just like.
Oh, I much prefer eat S and die.
Oh, yeah.
I like it too.
It makes sense. But yeah. I just like die. F and die.
I always thought it was that too.
Yeah. Just really rubbing it in.
And I just at least want to underscore the brilliant line of, I hope you drown in the love canal.
Yeah.
I mean, that line. Because he's already given up that she's on to someone else.
Right.
And God, that's a brilliant line.
Was he a regular guest? Yeah, not so much. I don't remember.
And I don't know that he does a ton of music.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Did you ever work with him?
No. Okay. I've only met him once when he came in maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, yeah, I remember that, yeah. Huh.
And he hadn't been in only like almost like 10 years or something.
We did a Bob and Tom show live somewhere, and we went, I feel like it was like, what's the one way up in Ohio?
Youngstown.
Youngstown, maybe Toledo, somewhere up in there. And after the show, we went to a comedy club, and he was there.
Oh, huh. Cool.
That's the only time I recall.
Yeah.
And he's just a real laid-back dude, right? I mean, I think he had a guitar with him at the time, but I mean, I don't remember much about it. I wouldn't know him if he walked in, I don't think.
Okay.
Do you have a beard?
No, not when he came in a few years ago.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All
but boy, that one song, and he had a couple others too, but that one just blew him out of the water with our audience for sure.
He's an interesting guy. He would go around to cemeteries. And you know that, I forget what exactly it's called, but you would put like a piece of parchment paper up there and like wax.
Chalk or color.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And he would do that with all the Black Sox players. So the guys who were part of the Chicago White Sox who were part of that scandal.
Yeah.
He would go to like all their graves.
No way.
Okay.
Yeah.
For like a collection or something?
Yeah, just for his own collection.
That's wild.
Now you can go to findagrave.com, but there's probably something special about touching it and
maybe
etching it,
if that's what you're into.
Yeah, I forget exactly what that's called. It's a lot of people do it. It's called for people.
Imprinting?
It's huge. Yeah, it's like getting an imprint of... Yeah.
Especially on the old gravestones, you can do it to kind of see it because you can't see the lettering sometimes, but I've never seen someone do it for...
For that purpose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
That guy's still pretty mad about that White Sox team. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd love to talk to him about it.
Well, I like that a lot. Let's move on to Josh's first appearance on an album.
Oh, you can buy hot towels, you know, individually wrapped or whatever it is, and you'll be able to pop in a microwave and you have that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
The place I get my haircut.
And
the
face.
I put a hot towel on your face.
Really? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just love that from the Three Stooges movies. Remember that always have the guy.
I liked it in cartoons where they take the towel off and the guy's face would be on the towel.
Hilarious. Love that. Love that bit.
Always funny.
They always had those things. They'd go into a gym and there'd be that steamer. The guy'd climb in. They'd always lock the guy in the steamer. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Head sticking out like it's a...
His head would be normally, and then he'd open it up and his body be like a little toothpick.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
Do they still have those machines?
A hell of an act, General.
No, they don't, Tom. They've come a long way since then.
Yeah. Yeah, they still have medicine balls. And you really believe that?
They still have medicine balls.
The medicine ball's coming back.
Yeah, those are big.
What about the belt that would go around your waist and just shake? That, remember that?
Oh, they've got a bunch of fakes.
Oh, yeah, have, the machine that you kind of lean back and it just...
How did that help anything? You just lean back.
The latest...
The shake weight, right?
The latest stuff. Yeah, we have a shake weight here.
Oh, the shake weight? Mm-hmm.
I thought they were mechanized, but they're not.
Is that the one that
looks like you're masturbating? Yeah.
Yes.
We have one right here.
Oh.
The commercial. Oh,
the shake weight.
It's in the box.
It looks like a small hand barbell.
Yeah.
And we have one in the box. Which is funny you'd bring it up because we just got this thing.
What the hell? This is going to take a while.
Okay.
I'm too weak to open the box.
Well, you probably could use the shake weight.
Okay, you got it.
Okay, so.
Okay, now.
Oh, boy, that hurts your shoulder. Well, that's an unfortunate noise.
Hold it up for a second. Describe it. It's a barbell with big silver tips on it, and it as you shake it up and down. All right. Don't move your mouth like that.
That's your workout. Have you you been using the shake weight before, Chick? You jumped right to it, didn't you? I don't understand it.
Pass that baby over. I want to see that.
That is kind of. You worn out?
Oh God, I'm winded.
Woo.
Now, it's like a, it's like a shaft.
I'm
with
curious. I want you to head to Christy. I'm just curious to see if she can figure out how it operates.
No, Christy, not in your mouth.
Oh no.
I knew he was gonna say that.
Oh yeah, there it is.
Well, the tag needs to come up. That's disgusting.
Christy's taking the tag off.
Careful with the scissors.
Yes. All right.
You're not gonna try it?
Heck no.
It didn't.
She knows what Photoshop can do.
Be careful with that because it tore my shoulder up and it's
up and down.
Not as bad as yours.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
he's got a bad wheel.
This is my bad arm here. This is actually probably pretty good for my arm.
It actually probably is.
Probably is. Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is good. Yeah.
Try it with your other hand. There you go.
Hey, oh, my God.
Feels like somebody else.
Yeah.
With my left hand.
Lay on your hand. Let it go to sleep. That's really cool.
We need to get some pictures of this thing. Christy, seriously, I just noticed something.
Oh, my gosh.
I want you to get a good look at my hand on this thing.
That's
funny. Now, when Christy grabs it, because my hand covers about, I don't know, more than half of the.
Oh, yeah, little tiny hands. Of the, rock.
Look at Christy's little hands on this.
Oh, yeah, that's. That's ego boosting.
Boy, that makes that'll make anything look large.
It's all relative.
That makes that shake weight look huge. Try shaking.
Give it a shake there.
So what is the
that a girl?
Yeah.
No.
Oh wow. Well, come on, act like you're interested in it.
Yeah, me. Forget it. I'll just do it myself.
My guess is the first time. Yeah.
Never mind.
She probably laughed that hard the first time.
Nice
just try.
Try
it. I think you have to back
you
away
want
from
me
the desk.
To what?
Back
you
away know? From the desk. Okay.
Oh, it's adorable. She thinks she knows what she's doing.
That is cute, isn't it?
Go ahead.
This is ridiculous.
Just an up and down motion.
I know what
yeah.
it
is.
Okay. Now lick your lips.
No, don't do that.
So, well, that's
oh, two hands, two
oh,
hands. Oh, that's
there
good.
You go.
No, no, no. Do the two-handed one again, up and down. That's,
yeah.
No, that was funnier. Do that.
Yeah.
Two hands up and down. Okay.
Now take one of the hands and sort of cup the knob at the bottom. That's the closer, man.
And if you didn't hear Bob's in there saying, bravo, Josh.
That's
so got to feel good.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Was that your first time on the air?
No, that was the first thing that made
album.
A CD.
Oh, okay. So what year? So I was trying to put it together. Bob was here. Mm-hmm. Tom had broke his shoulder, and it was your first time on an album. So I was trying to guess about what year that would have been.
Boy. In between 10 and 15.
I was thinking 05, 06. Mm-hmm. Shake Week.
No,
college?
I was going to say 13. I don't know, though.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay.
2011.
Cool. 11. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. And it was probably 11. My third appearance or second or something like that. Yeah.
Did you drive anybody in or come in as an opener and sit in the green room hoping to be on the air? Did you?
No.
That never
even occurred to me.
Okay, a lot of people did that back then. So
I know.
And him knowing Greg Warren, obviously.
To us, that seemed like that would have been a...
No, the first time I was booked was through... I was working the Comedy Attic. I was opening at the Comedy Attic, and I... was opening for John again.
Oh, okay.
But Jared had sent Tom video of me from a website that's now, I think, defunct called Rooftop Comedy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there were some good clips on there, whatever. And Tom liked him and said, yeah, we'll have this guy in. And so I came in with Tommy, and he was already a favorite.
Oh, yeah.
And they had Tommy go in, of course, first,
mm-hmm.
and started talking with him. And they were talking with him like so long exclusively, they bumped me. They ended up having me in.
That's brutal.
And I had told all my friends and family that I was finally going to be on or whatever. This was like a really long dream of mine.
Right.
And Tom was so apologetic.
Sure.
And he goes, we could have you in for the local, which is a break that happens after we go off the air everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's only, and he goes, but, or we can just save you for, you know, next time we'll have you in and we'll have you in. And I'm so sorry.
Right.
And, but, you know, they got talking to one of their oldest friends or, you know, one of their favorite people.
Right.
And so I totally get it. And I wasn't mad or anything. I was disappointed, but Tom was so kind about it. He's like, this never happens. But now I have a different perspective of it now than I did. Then I was just like, hell, it's your show. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
I'm not going to complain.
Right.
And also in my head, I went, okay, the next time I do come in, I'll only be a better comedian because I'll have done it for another 6 months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't too... I was by no means upset, just sort of disappointed. And then, but now I see it as like, yeah, the show was sailing along. And to bring in somebody they didn't know, and I could have come in and just totally wrecked it.
Yeah, bring it to a halt.
It's true.
Yeah.
And that's what you would have been known for.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. Everything worked out the way it should have then.
Right,
I guess.
Right.
Yeah, Josh said, I'll show you. I'll be in here every day.
I just love to imagine a different world where you got on air and like my dad on a phone call. Yeah, Jonigan was in this morning. We were having a great time. Then we brought in this idiot, Josh Arnold.
But do you know how many comedians that's happened to?
Yes.
And I don't mean that to be mean and I feel bad for them, but how many times they came in here and had an off day and we never had them back?
Yeah.
And it destroyed them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You know, I feel really bad about it because we've had people come in here and I'm just like, yeah, they're not coming back. And then I would go to the show later and see them as an opener and go, oh my God, they're really good.
Yeah.
And usually I would tell Tom, like, hey, heads up, that person was actually really good. Sorry that I had an off day.
Well, and also being funny on stage it can be an indicator of being good on this show, but it's not the exact same.
You're right. You're
being
right.
Good at stand up isn't good at being good on Bob and Tom. It doesn't mean you're good at improv. It's all different kinds of comedy.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's not a direct indicator that you'll be great in here.
Yeah, I mean, because there is, it's definitely, the majority of the people, the stand-ups can't do both.
Mm-hmm.
They can't.
And even those who can, this is hard, it's not easy in here.
No, it's terrifying.
You never know when you're going to
get
cut off.
Yeah.
You never know when, the phone might ring.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. So when you were offered this position... Did you double clutch? Did you think, I don't know if I can do this or if I want to do this? Or did you go, yes, I'm going to show them that I want to do this?
Well, when I started guest hosting, and then that became more and more frequent,
right?
I got the impression, oh, maybe they're looking to permanently fill that fourth chair. Mm-hmm. And what would happen is like I would guest host and then for like Monday and Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then that became Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then that became, and then it would get to the point where I would go out on the road, and then Sunday night I would get a call from Grace at the time, and she'd go, can you come in tomorrow and guest host this whole week? And when that happened like three or four times in a row, I went, oh, maybe they are looking to fill that, you know, it must be going well, and they
but
want me in
true
there.
True Bob
stuff.
And Tom fashion, no one told you
No.
Oh, I'd be so nervous. Even if you started to think that in the back of your head, when you think, holy crap, this is happening.
So then when I kind of got the inkling, I told Chick, I go, you know, I don't know what's mm-hmm. being talked about or whatever. That's when I thought communication actually occurred here.
Yep. That's so adorable.
Yes, yeah. I go, I don't know what's being talked about, but if you know, everybody's looking for a permanent sort of fill-in, mm-hmm. I would happily throw my hat in that ring.
And you told the exact wrong person that you were interested in the position.
You think so?
Yes. Chick doesn't tell anybody anything. He doesn't listen.
I think in this instance.
You think he did?
I think in this case he did.
I'm sorry. You're right. He had a big say in who was that fourth chair.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know the behind the scenes.
It was we know for a fact it was down to two people.
Okay. I mean, you did the cup check challenge.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that's like if you're going to do that.
Yeah, and when Tom started, and then another time when I was guest hosting, he goes, one time on the air, Tom goes, Josh, explain exactly what's happening here, and I had to describe him getting his nose hair pulled or something.
Yeah.
Like, you think waxed. That was a test?
Oh, yeah.
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 And that one I kind of felt at the time. Mm. And thankfully it went well and all that. So, but I was getting ready to move to LA.
You were?
Yeah. I was getting ready to head out to LA and give acting a try. Mm. And so when Tom actually called me one day, I was in St. Louis and he goes, hey, look, I know you're coming into guest host this week, but go ahead. We're going to get you moved out here, and we're going to get you, we'll help find you a place, and we'll help.
That's how he offered you the job?
Yeah, yeah. And I go, okay, so are you offering me a full-time position? And he goes, well, we'll see how it goes, but we'll get you out here and bring all your stuff. And
I've been on the show about 2 years. My dad never told me I was on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
He just goes, yeah, make sure you come back Monday morning from Chicago.
Yeah.
And I go, well, do I have to? He goes, well, Chick is going to be in, but we don't know if he's going to be 100%. And then I get back Monday. I stay with Chick the whole day. And then he goes, yeah, just don't head back to Chicago yet. Just keep hanging around. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, what?
We call that the soft hire here.
It's
you
crazy.
Just like kind of slowly coming.
Normally, I would have even questioned it.
Right.
Because it would have been a little like, it would have felt a little like looking a gift horse in the mouth. But yeah. This was like... That's if cute. I'm uprooting and I'm abandoning plans to go to LA, mm-hmm. so part of me was like, to answer your original question, which was I all in or was I a little hesitant or whatever? Yeah. There was a moment, and it was a really fleeting moment where I went, well, I had these plans to go out to LA and give that a shot. And then I went, no, this is the shot, and this is what I've always wanted to do.
Right.
What am I even thinking about? But just because I had had that. For 6 months, I had it. Oh, yeah, I'm moving out to LA.
Right. So my follow-up question is, how long had you worked here before you wished you'd gone to LA?
Fantastic question.
Two breaks?
It's still, no, I don't have any. Yeah. I don't have any regrets.
Yeah, awesome.
So
you're just daydreaming about Pink's and about Pink's
hot
dogs.
I was moving out there primarily for the restaurant.
Well, one of my favorites, here's a song from the Dignified, Tim Cavanaugh.
When you've had too much to drink, there's certain things to keep in mind. Like if you find your hands and underarms are bleeding, your beer bottle might not have a twist-off cap. And don't ever go home with a woman they call Moose or Vince. And never bet that you can fit your head inside a glove compartment. Get drunk with dignity. Keep in mind that just because a bulldog licks your face, it's not necessary to lick him back. Stay away from drinks with names like brain seizure or hippo laxative. Get drunk with dignity. If a bar has human ears nailed to the walls, don't pass out there. And if your homemade Jell-O has some goldfish in it, you used the wrong bowl. And there are phrases you must learn to avoid. Phrases like that. Badge looks stupid, and I can prove these shoes are fireproof. Get drunk with dignity. Try not to drool on bikers. Don't moon a nun unless you've got a real good reason. Don't get romantically involved with farm machinery. Get drunk with dignity.
Woo!
Isn't that fun?
It's a fun song, but I just wanted to say, Tim Kavanaugh has such lovely vibrato.
Yes.
You don't get to hear it a lot because he's not holding a lot of notes, but when he does, my goodness, he has a lovely voice.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets to show it off a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was on Funhouse, and boy, that song definitely, I knew I liked it, and then I knew I loved it with the line about if a bar has human ears on the wall. Mm-hmm. In my head, I go, oh, you don't go in there. But he goes, don't pass out there, which is so much funnier because it's like, oh, you can go in.
Right.
There's no reason just to leave.
Right.
Get a beer or two. Don't go crazy.
And then the silliness of don't moon a nun unless you've got a real good reason. It's like, well, you would never have a good reason to do that, but he's giving you the out. It's just, you know, all of these kind of that and head shampoo and stuff. Are also just constant reminders that you can be silly and stupid and smart all at the same time.
Right.
And that's some of my favorite stuff. I mean, Chick's recently been saying a lot on the air, you have to be really smart to act this stupid. And that's an old adage. Like he's totally correct.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember the first time I met you, we were in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And it was this big joke that they were going to do this St. Louis summit. Do you remember this? And it was Chick and I went out there, and then Jonigan, Warren, you. That was the first time I'd met you. And there was a handful of other comedians, right? Do you remember who else was there?
Yeah. Isaac Witte and, Augie Smith.
The best.
Side note, it was when Tommy first met, or she first came to St. Louis, his now significant other.
That's right. Yeah.
So we all met.
They've maybe been dating for like 2 months or somewhere around there.
Yeah. So we all met her then, but that was the first time I met Josh. Do you remember the first time you met someone on the air, like say like a Tim Kavanaugh, like not necessarily a part of the show, but a family member of the show? You know what I mean?
So like
somebody that you met growing up listening to, and you were just like, oh my gosh, this is.
It was Warren. It was Greg Warren.
Really?
Because he would show up at the St. Louis Funny Bone open mics, and that was my home club. That's where I was.
Okay.
And so he showed up. The first time I met him, he showed up. And now I should tease him about this because he showed up to the open mic, and it was the first time I met him, and he was wearing a Bob and Tom hat.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, it was at the height of his, like Flute Man at the time probably was the most requested thing.
Sure.
Oh, wow.
And so... he's Bob and Tom hat, which now I think he might be kind of embarrassed about, not because he doesn't love everything about this show, but it's like,
if I did it,
I would never hear the end of it.
Right.
It's kind of like wearing your own merch or whatever. It would be like a band wearing their own concert.
Wow, look at Arnold. Has to let everybody know what show he's on.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he was proud or whatever, and he wasn't nice. He was not he wasn't nice to me at all. And, I go, hey, Greg, it's really nice to meet you. And Bob and Tom, I go, I've listened for so long, and it's one of my favorite things ever. And he goes, oh, yeah, and walked away.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Does he recall that?
No.
Okay.
And in his defense, the St. Louis open mic, and almost all open mics, really, if you had any sort of clout at all, you were either a road comic or you had some credits or anything like that, you were hounded by the open micers who were, for lack of a better term, below you in terms of experience and talent and stuff like that. And even more so, there are guys who show up and say things like that to you at open mics who you never, ever see again.
Right.
Yep.
They do it once and they're out. Sometimes guys even do it for a year and they're out, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have much reason to be nice to me because for all he knew, he would never see me again ever. Right. Mm-hmm. Because then when I started doing okay at open mics, he became one of my fastest, like really quickly we became friends.
Yeah.
Now, when I meet somebody in an open mic, like if somebody came up to me and did that, I'm very, very, like I'm much nicer than Greg was.
Yeah.
But he's also done, put up with it a lot more. You know what I mean?
Right.
For a longer amount of time.
So what? Go ahead.
I was gonna, for all he knew, you were going to say, hey, how do I get on that show?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, he was probably just trying to end the conversation before you.
An excellent point. Yep. And he may have been like, I'm going to get out of this before it starts.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I really don't, I do not fault him at all about he wasn't mean, he just wasn't nice.
Sure.
Other than getting onto the Bob and Tom show, as you were coming up as a comic, was there a stage that you always wanted to, you know, play, that you eventually did play?
Oh, that's interesting. It was the first, I mean, it started off as I want to work the St. Louis Funny Bone on a weekend.
I meant to exclude that one too.
Oh, okay. But that's a big thing.
Sure, absolutely. It was like, absolutely.
After, you know, so many open mics, it's like, okay, I've been on the stage, but I want to be on here on a Friday or Saturday night.
Gotcha, yeah.
And so that was like the first. That's really all you, I don't know. I don't want to speak for every comedian, but that was like your home club. That's like all that's on your mind at the time. It's like, I need to get on here. And then after that, it became, okay, any stage that isn't the St. Louis Funny Bone stage. So my first away game, essentially. And then you would hear about clubs and go, okay, those rooms, I want to work, and some of them I still haven't. And for instance, Acme in Minneapolis. Yeah. I've never worked Madison, Wisconsin.
What?
Yeah,
Comedy on State.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah. Oh my God!
We got
people. Yeah,
I can. And you can do that. That's one of the clubs that's on my, you know, sort of comedy bucket list. I would love to work the State Theater in Kalamazoo, because that was where Robert Schimmelfeld filmed his Unprotected special, and that was the special that finally got me to an open mic, where I watched it and I went, I sure love this. And that's my all-time favorite comedy special. And shortly after I watched it, I went and did my first open mic.
That's awesome.
So that one, it really inspired me.
It gave you the nudge.
Yeah, yeah. Over
the, how old are you for the first mic?
Oh, boy, so let's say 2000, because at the time I was doing short form improv and sketch at this club in St. Louis. So, boy, 20, whatever I was, it was like 2002.
Cool.
2001, 2002, something like that.
Cool. That's also pretty interesting that you went from going to like short form improv and sketch into stand up. I feel like it's almost always the opposite. Just because a lot of people don't have sketch or improv scenes in their communities, and stand-up you can do alone at a coffee shop open mic.
Yeah, know? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
All right, before we get too inside, let's move on to this next one.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Here's one. I would not want to get drunk on this beer.
Hey, beer drinkers. Do you find that your beer not only fills you up, it binds you up? You need a beer that will help you loosen up. Introducing the beer that not only tastes great, it packs a mega high-fiber wallop. It's the first beer that's also a laxative. We call it Shats.
Oh, God.
S-H-A-T apostrophe S. Shats.
All the cats tip their hats to the man who's drinking Shats. The man who needs some fiber in his brew.
Shats beer.
When all is said and done, we're not yet number one, but Shats is always number two.
Hi, I'm Phil Throne from the Shats Brewing Company. Pour yourself a Shats and see why it's making a splash all over the country. Shats, the laxative beer. Shats is brewed with the highest quality hops and barley. Then we add our secret ingredient, whole kernel corn. Not too much, just a pinch. Every Shats beer is fortified with 12 essential vitamins, so you're always guaranteed a good, healthy Shats. Shats is available in the 6-ounce little squirt or the 64-ounce big lager. And every Shats is tapered at one end, so your can won't slam shut. We here at Shats are saddened by the recent passing of Adol Shat, founder of the Shat Family Brewery, better known as the Old Brick Shat House. In fact, Adolf loved his beer so much, his last wish was to be interred in a giant vat of Shats. So come on, when it's time to take a load off, crack open a Shats.
You will say, hooray, cause relief is on its way.
No more irregularity for you.
Shat's beer.
Give a Shat's a pop, and soon you'll hear a plop. Shat's is nature's perfect brew.
Shat's.
Don't just take any beer. Take a Shat's. And for you teetotalers, try our new high-fiber non-alcoholic beer. We call it O'Stool. O'Stools. Sample one today. And don't forget Shat's Light, Shat's Dark. And for those with diverticulitis, proctitis, and polyposis, doctors direct them to try new Shat's Red. Shat's Beer. A division of Frigimal Industries, Flushing, New York.
That is disgusting.
Christy, right when the bit starts, goes, okay.
Yeah. She's not having it. She still hates any of that stuff.
I mean, do you remember hearing that for the first time? Was it on the album or on the air?
It was on the album.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, on the air is a different experience, I feel. You're driving in your car and you're going, they're getting away with this?
Yeah. Well, that actually, they're getting away with this was the main thing I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because when I would listen to the CDs, I would put myself in the listeners.
Yeah.
And so.
My God.
I was like, okay. Even today, when Tom will say Shat's or I'll say Shat, I think it was you, Willie, goes, oh, past tense is okay. Or like it was somebody recently mentioned, like, I can't believe we can say that.
Yeah.
And the key is to not mention that we can't believe we can say it.
And I think I waited until the mics turned off to say the past tense comment. I hope I didn't say that on air.
This was another example of the product. Except why I chose Head and this is Head is the, I think, a perfect example of not sacrificing the fake product for the pun.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, who has had a lot to do with that one.
Oh yes.
He breaks what you would say in an actual commercial to go for the joke, and so he breaks the rules a little bit. Like, why would the can be tapered at one end?
Yep. Right.
Only because Tom wants to say so your can won't slam shut.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It makes no logistical sense for the can to be tapered at one.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a lot of opportunities where I'm like, that bit could have ended twice.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It could have ended, and then they go, and we'd like to remember our founder, Adolf Shat. You didn't have to do that at all.
But the thing about it is I never felt like that bit should have ended twice. Mm-hmm. It's just it could have. Mm-hmm. And they went, no, let's talk about Adolf Shat's.
And why name him Adolf? That Adolf seems like a distraction.
Adolf Kors, the founder of Kors.
Right, sure. Okay. Exactly.
And it's a German name. Yeah. It's just very silly. And then his one wish was to be interred.
Pause. Long pause.
Such a pregnant pause.
And it's like it is literally Tom winking at the audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a joke there.
Yeah.
And so that breaks the rule a little bit. But also the way Tom does it, it's very like in earnest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In a giant vat of Shat's. Like, it's so funny. And then I think, and I bet Chick didn't want to say this, but when he says doctors direct them, why would they? You would never say it that way.
You better get on a plat. Here comes the
It's for diverticulitis, and then he goes. Is it a red stripe joke? Is that what the fuck?
No, there was a craze there where you would have where it was like so such and such red.
Oh, okay, I got it.
So you don't see it much anymore, but it used to be you could get. Like, remember the ice craze, Bud Ice, Natural Light Ice, all this? There was a red craze for a little while.
I might have just missed that, but it's just to do a full bit, already do a dark thing, being like the founder has passed, then to be like, and now we're going to go into diseases people can't control and have a laugh about that, too.
All the while, this nice, sweet music behind it.
Yeah,
which is
and
part
the production
of the
value, of course. Is
yeah.
And it was also one of those lessons where I went, okay, the production value is so good. However silly the joke, you commit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you put in the time and the effort and you make it really.
Can you imagine playing a trombone player to come in for a poop joke?
Oh, dude.
That's crazy. That's insane.
Yeah.
And then when the singers, you can tell how good the singers are and they do the,
Oh my gosh. It's so funny.
Was that Chick at one point doing like a, was that Chick? Because I feel like that's three bits we've heard Chick,
With his voice.
Oh, yeah, satisfying. Yeah.
His very, yeah.
No, it's actually the chorus of the commercial.
Oh, wow.
But Chick howls when they do that. I think there's also a moment here, because the show has, I would imagine, been accused of canned laughter or fake laughter.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. We still get comments on our social media. Like, I just read one Friday that was like, oh, this would be really good if there wasn't the canned laughter underneath it.
And oh, okay.
Like, really?
And yeah, there's an old album called Canned Laughter.
That's just, right. Yeah.
In their face, yeah.
It's not the case.
Nope.
And but what you have to remember is if you're thinking, oh, that laugh was too loud for it, the what was just said in that bit didn't deserve that laugh. That the room is watching each other.
Yeah.
And I think there's a moment in Schatz, I would get. It's my theory. There's something. There's like a moment of silence, and Chick cracks up, and I venture to guess. He was looking at Tom, and Tom was so overjoyed that Chick is laughing at the visual of Tom listening to this.
Yeah.
Sometimes my dad is so satisfied with it. The only thing I compare it to is sometimes the way my mom lays down and looks into the sun, very satisfied. And if that's kind of like what my dad does when a bit is really good.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Just kind of basking in the glory of
right.
it all.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And forcing us to listen to it is like a lot of the joy for him.
Yeah. And him just going like doing like the check please sign like I wrote that. That one's me.
Yeah.
It's like we know it's you.
Yeah.
We know that we're number two is you.
Yes. And there are a lot of people out there too that go, well, these people are on the bit. That's clearly Bob's voice. Why is he laughing so hard?
Yeah.
They don't realize that when you go in to record, you just go in and record your lines.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so you don't necessarily know how they're going to be pieced together, what the whole thing, you don't see the big picture. And now everybody gets to hear and see the big picture all at once. So they're laughing. They are genuinely laughing hard.
Yeah, they're hearing it for the first time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Post. So, yeah.
There are times you do a line and you don't even know what it's for at all.
Oh, my gosh. Dean, I love it when Dean does that. We don't do it as much anymore, but he would pull you in his office and he'd be like, read this like this. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
You don't know what it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next morning you're driving in and you're like, oh, that's what that was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Could you read it a little more like something's getting crammed up your.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
But always with our permission. It's like, if you feel comfortable with this, you know, I feel like I have to say that.
Yeah. That's really nice of
me. And I'm like, I'll say whatever. How dirty can we get?
Speaking of which, Josh, do you kind of have, I feel like you enjoy pushing that line on the show to seeing what you could get away with at times.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it isn't necessarily
calculated.
Right. It's like, what can I get away
with
here? It's, what can I say to get the reaction from Tom? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he plays all right, let's move on. Let's have enough. Like that makes me laugh so hard that's what I'm trying.
Right.
You know what I just kind of realized? I think that when I go relax, when things get a little too crazy sometimes, I think that's my version of my dad's, all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone has one. Sure.
Yeah, relax is really is great. Yeah, it's great when you say that.
Well, and that's usually when you say something that's inappropriate, and I know I shouldn't laugh at it, but I can't help it. It's like, relax.
Yeah. When you knock it off over there.
Yeah, it's like your verbal condom. Like, I laughed at this, but listen.
Yeah. It's kind of like, hey, you're going to get me in trouble, so you have to stop. Yeah. That's kind of a brotherly thing, too. I really.
Well, I'm glad we kind of brought this up. Last week, Josh said something, and it made me think, you know what? He says that a lot in a very funny way. It's kind of a singular word. And I spent a couple hours going back the last few years of shows.
Pulling this word,
and it's just a quick medley. It's literally might be the best 23 seconds of my production career.
I can't believe you took, I don't know what it is.
No one knows what this is.
But I already can't believe you took the time to do this.
They might want to play this on the big show.
Yeah, just so you know.
So, but this is the first time it's being played.
All right.
Okay, and I'm going to leave the mics open. Okay. And prepare yourself. Hopefully I didn't oversell it. Here we go.
Well, all right. The bitch has spoken. Or relax, bitch. That's how I say.
According to this guy, with every pot, you
bitch.
Never.
Christy, you're leaving?
Yeah.
See ya, bitch.
What is wrong with you today?
These bitches. That'll do, bitch. So, the dirty secret here is I hate that word. I hate
yes,
it.
Yes, I know you said that the other day. Yes.
Yeah, and I have never, ever been comfortable saying it. I don't say it in my act. I don't think I can get away with it. I just don't. Even when I was 15 or whatever, and I've never liked saying it. I do like when other people say it.
Yeah.
I think it can be really effective and funny. Not when somebody's being mean or whatever, but sure. Comedically. I've never really liked when guys call other guys bitches. I think that's too easy or whatever. Yeah. But, so what I'm kind of doing on the, like, to me, it's so, you know how sometimes one word, you're like, I would rather hear the C word than
yes,
that word.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That word is kind of like that to me. So in my head, I'm like saying the worst thing possible.
And you can tell because you never say it naturally.
Yeah, no,
yeah, it is always like, there's always like an inflection or it. Something. Yeah, yeah, like it's just, and however it is.
It's so unnatural in my mouth.
But you know what? When you said it last week, I think it's when he says bitches.
These bitches.
When he said it last week, I remember hearing it live and going, that sounded really natural.
That was your
most natural one.
Because in the moment, it was like in my, you know, that split second in your head, you go, before you go, should I say this or not or whatever?
Yeah.
It was like, I'm going to say it as real as I can because the moment called for it to be real.
She asked you a question.
Yeah.
And I bet you, I assume you put your arms out when you said it, right?
I don't know. I don't remember.
This was a Deer Alley time.
Yeah.
That's right.
If anything, these bitches, I probably did. Because that's what I do.
That's exactly what I do.
And in that case, I was trying, and because I was looking in Christy's eyes, I really wanted to see her sort of light up.
Right. But every other time, it's like a character saying it. It's very different.
Because it absolutely is a character.
Yeah.
Who would ever, what? I'm at, like, Christy doesn't deserve that at all. And so, so that's why it's so fun. And thankfully, she and I will always look at each other and like...
You nod,
And wink and smile and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which doesn't come off over the air, of course. But it's one of those things where I'm trying to like shock her.
Right.
And because her being shocked isn't usually like, oh, it's more, she cracks up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
So
yes.
That's what I'm trying to do there. And
yeah.
She knows that I don't think she's a bitch, and I would never call her one.
No, but that's a great part about being able to watch the show live every day is that you do see those moments where you two will like tap hands or something after a funny joke. Yeah.
The most real, though, is when, and I didn't include these because it didn't fit, when Tom is really being hypocritical about what he's saying and what he's doing, and you'll call him a son of a bitch, and you will let it out. Yeah. And I feel like those are pretty real in the moment to be funny still.
That's interesting. Son of a bitch has never bothered me and doesn't.
Right.
Okay.
You know what? In my head, it feels like a totally different word.
Okay.
Even though it's the same word being used.
It is, yeah.
No, it is. Yeah. And when you use it with Tom, it is always justified.
Mm. Yes. Oh, well, it's...
Remember when I called my dad an old bald bitch that one morning? I got all riled up.
I might have that here.
I forget when that was bad.
Oh,
He totally came to your defense on that. Were you aware of that?
No.
You called him that, and I go, man, I go, you got to remember, Willie goes for the jugular or whatever. And Tom goes, didn't you the other day just say them bitches or whatever? Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Not a great one. What are you going to do? Sometimes you get a little loose on the air when you're hanging out with your pals.
It's all about reaction. Mm-hmm. It's not about, there's no malice.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how many times you've slipped up and like dropped a bigger curse?
I think twice. It's either been two or three times.
I fell once.
Yeah.
Halloweenish time.
Okay. I remember the first time I did it.
Oh, when was that?
Yeah.
I forget exactly, but I absolutely cussed, and we got off the air, and Tom goes, I felt awful, of course. And he goes, don't. He goes, that's a really good sign. It means you're comfortable in here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was actually like, it was kind of like that Goodfellas moment of, you broke your cherry.
Was it the big one?
Man, I don't remember.
Because I got in trouble for J.O., I was like, I mainly just jerk around, but I said the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a big laugh, and I was like, we're not allowed to say that
one. right.
I thought that was fine.
Yeah, and it's not, but you would think maybe it was, considering some of the things you can get away with.
Man,
and some of
the
things
in the last year, there's been some awesome just F-bombs dropped. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, we bleep them, but when you watch it on the VIP, it's different, but oh my gosh. you go back and listen. There've been some awesome
Chick
moments.
For years has done it, and he just never knows he did it.
He didn't. That yeah, the last time he did it, he just kept talking.
Yes.
And you go, he doesn't even know.
No. And I remember one time a couple of years ago, he called Tom an a-hole.
Oh, really?
And he goes, well, you know, except for a-holes like you, and we're all, you know. And he was looking around like, what did I say? There's a moment on one of the CDs near the end. Do you remember this? Where Chick, Christy's talking about shopping. And he goes, and she's like, yeah, I was shopping for, and he goes, underwear or something? She goes, no, a little, for underwear a little higher up, meaning bras.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And oh. Chick just, he just goes, T-word. Like he said it like that.
Yes.
And they were like, what, are you out of your mind? And like, Tom actually sounds legitimately upset. I forget what CD it is, but it's a wonderful moment.
Okay. Oh, okay. We'll have to find that. That's I want to hear that again.
Okay, we have one more bit to listen to. So let's all give credit to Bernie Lubbers for this classic.
I took you to the airport today. Said you'd be back 2 weeks from today. I came home, I was so lonely and sad. And that's why I'm screwing your sister. That's why I'm screwing your sister. She's got the same laugh. She's got the same nose. Like you, she likes to suck on my toes. Seems so funny, I don't miss you as much. Now that I've been screwing your sister. Picked you up from your gate today. But you were acting in such a strange way. It was then you put together the pieces. The fun I had with your nieces. They got the same eyes. They've got that same face. Like you, they like to wear that black lace. Seems so funny, I don't miss you as much. How I love your nieces to pieces. Started posing those questions to me. But I didn't want to hurt you, you see. It was then that you were to uncover the orgy we had at your brother's. I screwed your cousin Sue. I mounted Aunt Jean. Boy, I really made your grandmother scream. Seems so funny we don't miss you as much now that I've been screwing your family.
Going, having family not rhyme at the end is so funny.
It's great. Yeah. It's similar to the John Wing thing of, okay, mm-hmm. I'm just letting it all out and I'm abandoning any rhyme scheme or anything like that. I honestly, the thing I love most about that and always have is mm-hmm. Chick.
Yep.
Oh my God.
I'm with you.
A lot of the bits and a lot of the songs, the loudest laughter is Bob. Mm-hmm. And in this case, he's like the third loudest.
Yeah.
And it's not that he doesn't like it because you can, well, especially at the grandmother line, you can hear him howl off mic.
Right.
But Chick is losing his mind yeah. and like, not, I mean, he's, you can just tell he really thinks it's funny.
When you, like, there's that rasp in his laugh when he gets to laughing mm-hmm. really, really hard.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's times where I notice, like, you are trying to get him to that laugh, like, any means necessary. You know what I mean? When you two are trying to make each other laugh, you're almost, you guys are just hanging out on the
right.
show sometimes.
But the thing is, and I don't mean to refute what you're saying. I never try to make him laugh hard because
really?
That's the kiss of death with Chick McGee.
What do you
is
mean?
If you try to make Chick laugh.
Oh, you're right.
He usually what I do is if I think it'll make it laugh, I'll deliver it to him.
Yeah.
But I never try too hard to make him laugh because he senses that and it shuts him off.
Yes, it makes you look desperate, and then he stops.
Yeah, he does.
He's like, you want me to perform, monkey? Absolutely.
He hates it. Yeah.
But I guess what I'm thinking of is those moments where you two kind of get in your, let's say your
Dickie Brothers.
Yes, thank you. Your Dickie Brothers.
Yeah, if we're playing an improv that's called a game.
Yes,
where
yes,
you're trying to play off of each other and at the same time elevate
yes.
the. Then yes, absolutely.
We're
both doing that.
Yes, yeah.
And I get a lot of feedback on the road of, man, you and Chick really play off each other well.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice compliment because we both know kind of what to say to get each other's or we'll both pick up on, oh, he wants me to play along here,
mm-hmm.
and we'll just do it.
Yeah.
Now there are times where he won't, and That makes me laugh so hard. And the only times he won't is when it's fake.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he, I go, well, I remember one morning specifically, I go, Tom was, I forget, making Chick mad.
Right.
And I go, Chick, throw that three-hole punch at him. And Chick didn't play along at all. He goes, I don't have a three-hole punch over here. And I go, well, I thought maybe you could act like you did. And it would be, and he goes, oh, I see. And I watched him. He grabbed a pretend three-hole punch and looked at it, and he goes, I guess I'll throw this at Tom. Like, he was so annoyed that he had to fake something, but he still did it, and right. He was like...
And that makes it so funny.
He was, like, mad about it, yeah. And I was howling.
So let me just get it.
All right, I guess. So yeah, when you try to push him into something that he doesn't think is genuine in the moment, he can't stand it.
But yeah. It makes it better because then he ended up making you laugh way harder. Yeah. You're going to make me laugh, I'm going to make you laugh.
Right.
I'm the
yeah.
king, stop.
Yeah, he definitely always wins those, which right. is, it's not a contest, but it's a, oh, dude, he made it. Chick just makes things funnier.
Yeah. No, even listening, I still listen. I'm still a fan. And anytime you guys are doing kind of like your improv off and you just keep going and going with each other, like that listener probably says, it's bromantical. It's so fun. We love hearing you guys kind of just go at it. And
yeah, where I mess up is there are times where I'm like, oh, he'll be, I'm going to tease him. Mm-hmm. And he's not in on it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that he wasn't in on it. And it really is my fault. I should be more aware of, oh, he didn't hear the setup to me being rude. Or to now, all right, it's a little hard to explain, but if I think he... let's say he didn't hear Christy say something. Mm-hmm. And then Chick says the exact same thing that Christy essentially. And I go, oh, Chick, you're so boring and dumb or whatever. All he heard was me calling him boring and dumb. Yeah. He didn't realize. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I got to be careful there. And that's my mistake. I should always, if I'm going to do that, I preface it with, you know, Christy just said that. Mm-hmm. Because what Chick's usually pretty good about is going, oh, did she really? Doubling right. down on being clueless.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I didn't give him the chance to do that. I just insulted him.
But always works. I will say, though, there's nothing better than Chick McGee hopping on board for a little bit. One time on air, I just go, hey, Chick, I got a note, and this might be nothing. And now he'll throw that back to me.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a little note for you. This might not be nothing. And it always makes me laugh.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, Chick saw something that I did. Now he's throwing it back to me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He'll acknowledge something that's funny, but mm-hmm. if it's not genuine, he can't take it.
No.
He can't take
my gosh.
It.
I tried to do it. What? I was teasing a news story and all of a sudden I forgot the words I was saying. This is the last time I filled in. I'm like, God, the underwear, blah. And it was awful. God bless Chick. He's like, I'm going to make this funny real quick. You know, and he chimes in and takes over. I'm like, well, you're the king. Thank you for saving me.
Yeah.
And to me, I just lit up inside like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It's a nod. So it's a nod. Like when you feel accepted by everybody in the room like that.
I hope it was acceptance.
It was.
But if anything, it's like, thanks for not being annoyed and just being like, Tom, just do the teasers. Don't ever let her do it again.
Oh, yeah. Chick's sigh is powerful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hear it. I feel it. I see it. I analyze it. I think about it.
You shouldn't.
I do a lot of... I overthink everyone's... everything that people do, say, how they breathe, their body language, and I make it all about me and assume they all hate me.
Well, the show's going through an interesting metamorphosis in that... A society, audiences demand more transparency these days than they used to. Tom is really stuck in the days of no transparency, and I am to a certain extent as well. It's there are no peaks behind the curtain, because we want the product to speak for. But audiences really do demand with the age of podcasts, with the age of
reality
director
TV.
Commentary with mm-hmm. reality TV, all that stuff. It's we want the truth in it. And so you and Willie and any of the younger folks bring in that aspect. And there's a bit, there's some growing pains where I think it still happens with you and I, Willie, where whatever I'm saying is for the show and you're going, oh, he must mean it.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah. And then I go, well, no, of course I didn't mean it. But I either sold it like I definitely meant it or whatever. So there's and Chick has always been attuned to, he prefers things to be more real. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't mind, you know, the peaks behind the curtain. Right. I definitely don't mind them. I think they can be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Godwin likes them too. But yeah. when the guy who's steering the ship right. hates them, there's like there are definitely going to be growing pains.
So I have a theory about this, and Tom especially. Like, Tom likes the peek behind the curtain, but he doesn't like it to be dropped on him. If I were to say, hey, Tom, I'm going to drop this line in during this break. Is that okay with you? He's fine if he's prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not as fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would argue it's not as fun.
Well, for
he would argue it's not as fun to not be prepared.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, he always wants to know. And if you tell him ahead of time, he's on your side. And that's
right,
you always
right.
want that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what he doesn't like is the Godwin on the intercom. I thought that we were going to do what we talked about in the hallway. And then you got to go over that. And now we're on air. I thought we were discussing something.
You know what, though? He may not like it, but I think he at least knows that's funny. And mm-hmm, so he's yeah. not going to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has. Tom will admit when something's. If it makes him uncomfortable, but if it's funny, he'll admit it.
Oh, he's like, you get to a word you don't know, just push through. I'm like, totally, totally. But once I get to a word I don't know, I'm like, Gregorian. And he's like, whoa.
Well, that's your first
example. I'm awful.
That's your first example is Gregorian.
And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry about that.
Okay, well, are we calling it?
Thanks, Josh. This was awesome.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you guys for having me. Always fun to chat
yeah.
and hang out.
Does this feel different? I know that you do podcasts, but like hanging out and talking to us like this?
Yeah. I haven't done my podcast since October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the people want to know what you're doing.
I'll start it back up again. It'll be slightly different, but okay. I'm going to start it back. I think you guys know me. I wrestle with being very private and very public.
I get
it's
that.
It's a day-to-day battle for me.
Yeah.
Even posting on social media, I'll post something, and then I won't post for like 3 weeks or a month because I'm just like, ugh,
I don't know. I talk to my therapist about every 2 weeks. That's yeah. when I see my... So, yeah.
So what are you going to lean? Which way with the podcast? Is it going to be a little bit more personal? No?
Ooh, I fake? Think it's going to be more comedic overall.
Okay.
I'll just say that.
Okay.
So.
All right.
I did enjoy your episodes.
Oh, thanks.
Your past podcast. It was delightful.
Thank you. I wish I could say the same about this, but I've never listened.
That's fair. I'm ready to come back.
I'll go ahead and say I've never listened to your podcast either, Josh. So
oh, yeah. You know what, Jess? I'm a little surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
You're that full of yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No. I just figured, because you spend time here off hours.
Yeah.
You know. From 11 a.m. to right. 3 p.m. or whatever.
Right.
And it just, I just assumed maybe you would give it a listen.
Oh.
There's no ego there at all.
Okay. I take it back. I didn't listen.
It's more of a vicinity thing.
Sure. I get it. Yeah.
I listened to all of them. I loved them.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to produce.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah,
you know what else I produced?
What?
Well, all right. The bitch has spoken. Yeah. Oh, or relax, bitch. That's how I was saying.
According to this guy, with every pot, you never... Oh,
Christy, you're leaving?
Yeah.
See you, bitch.
What is wrong with you today?
These bitches. That'll do, bitch.
All right, well, thanks for listening. God. Thank you for joining us, Josh.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. And when I say anytime, I mean now you have to be on every episode of the podcast.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll never be back. But thank you.
All right. Thank you for listening. See you next time.
Come join TV's Ross Matthews every Thursday on his new podcast, Hello, Ross.
Hi, I'm Ross Matthews, and I am so excited to tell you about my brand new podcast, Hello, Ross.
You know, I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying it again to emphasize the name of my new podcast. It's Hello, Ross.
Look, you only have like 30 seconds to tell them about the new podcast, Hello, Ross. You have to tell them about the celebrity guests, the interesting people with cool stories to tell, and it's new every Thursday. Go ahead.
You never know who's going to pop by to say Hello, Ross. It could be an Oscar winner, the star of your favorite show, even my dental hygienist.
Really?
No, she's fascinating.
Okay, anyone else?
One time I was at a dinner party, and the lady across from me, turns out she was a dominatrix. Ooh, that's gonna hurt. I've been a naughty boy.
Huh, are you going to ask?
We're gonna go there.
For reals?
And there.
For real reals?
You better stretch.
I better stretch? What the
hell? On our show, nothing's off limits. I'm gonna ask that question.
No.
And that question.
No!
And I'm gonna get away with it.
Oh, boy.
So it's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right? Except think of it Mr. Matthews' Gayborhood. Oh, that sounds fun.
You know, that actually does sound fun.
And it's on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Wait, that's my line. Hello, Ross, available on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Okay, now you just repeated me.
We are so over our time limit.
Oh, that's a bummer.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.